Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the 27th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind, and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. As the fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar, among the wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, in this first portion, which is verses 1 and 2, we see what sinful pride looks like. Sinful pride. We ought to be reminded here of James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, where James says, "Come to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow you're going to this and that city, and you're going to buy and sell and make a profit." What you ought to say is, "If the Lord wills, we will go here or there and do this or that." And then James adds that inspired commentary to that proverb when he says, "Ye sin in boasting such." I know that some of you are careful to pepper your speech with if the Lord will. Let me commend you in that. That is what we ought to be saying. Or we might say it another way. We might reveal what our plans are, knowing that man proposes and God disposes. And so what Solomon would tell us along those same lines here, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. One of the great applications of this that we've learned from our Puritan forefathers is indebtedness and why indebtedness ought to be avoided. And just think of it this way as an application. When we say to our brother, pay me to, or let me borrow today and I will pay you tomorrow, when we do that without proper collateral, without anything behind what we're borrowing for, we are presuming that we will be able to pay tomorrow, although we don't know. And so our Puritan forefathers always took passages like this and said, be careful of indebtedness. Watch borrowing when there is no nothing of security to make good on that which you have borrowed, because you will then be in real debt. And so, let us not presume then upon God's good mercies. Let us not buy unnecessary things on time. Let us avoid that kind of living beyond our means. It's not a universal truth. But understand this. Most indebtedness. Notice I did not say all. Most indebtedness today springs from covetousness. Wanting things we gotta have but cannot afford. So, the second portion of pride and presumption is concerning praise and its sources. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Isn't that interesting that Solomon would tell us also that it wasn't me that said that. It was my friend. Well, that's not right either. Solomon says, let a stranger praise thee. Don't be fishing for compliments from your friends. And so this is just another way to inflame our pride. So the first two verses then speak against pride. All right, then verses 3 and 4, we learn the high cost and destructiveness of anger. The high cost and destructiveness of anger. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. Outrageous there. The word that he uses in the Hebrew is overwhelming. Wrath is cruel. Anger, overwhelming. So we ought not to let our anger out. As Solomon says elsewhere, it is like the letting out of water. Right? Try to stop water once you begin letting it out. Doesn't happen. Oh yeah, I just flicked the switch on the tub. Yeah, I've told you that story about the backyard plastic pool we had. You remember that story? We had one of those 3-foot pools that are like 20 or 21 feet around, plastic liner. And I was in the pool and I looked down and I thought, oh, look at that. There's an imperfection in the liner. So I went down to the bottom of the pool and I looked at it and I touched it with my finger. And it just started leaking a little bit, I could tell, you know, from inside the pool. So I immediately got up, looked outside. Yep, look at that. It's leaking a little bit. So I got a piece of plastic, and I was just going to set and just let the weight of the water push against that little imperfection, and hopefully it would seal itself. And as soon as I put that little piece of plastic there and touched it, that piece of plastic just went whoop right through that hole, and it tore, and the backyard was a foot deep in about, 45 seconds. Try to stop water once it lets out, right? It's overwhelming. That's what Solomon means here when he says that anger is overwhelming. But I want to show you something, because he goes on to say something else here that's very important. When the anger has let out, when the water drained out of the pool, what happened? It stopped. And most folks, I think we could say that everyone, no one can live perpetually angry. Anger comes to an end. It may overwhelm, but like a flood, it abates. But then he says, but who can stand before envy? Because envy never lets up. If you're envious, oh, you can keep that up for days and months and years on end. And so we see then that anger and envy are terrible, terrible things. Destructive. But envy, Solomon emphasizes envy because people can go on in their envy perpetually for years and years. All right, so then in the next portion, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If you have access to Charles Bridges and his commentary on the Proverbs, I would recommend, if you only look at one verse this week, look at that one. It's very, very good. He says something like this. What makes a friend? What is a friend? What makes a friend? How do people choose friends? We know how people choose friends. We know how we choose friends. We choose friends out of the people that make us feel good. We choose friends out of the stock and store of our acquaintances where, you know, we just have this commonality. Normally what that means is it's a mutual admiration society. Normally what that means is they make us feel good. They give us props. Dr. Bridges asks the question, but what does the Bible say a true friend is? The Bible says that a true friend is someone who will wound us when it's necessary. The Bible says a true friend is one, if I can put it colloquially, who will get in our face when we've gotten astray. A friend is one who will tell us no. A friend is one who will tell us some disappointing and hard truths when we need to hear them. Regrettably, many friends like that are difficult to be found. Or friends like that are difficult to be found. And regrettably, through our own pride, we often foul friendships like that because we're just tired of hearing it. And so the counsel that Dr. Bridges gives is seek out true friends. Seek out those friends who will tell you those hard things. All right, so then the soul, or the full soul, loatheth an honeycomb. But to the hungry, every soul, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Of course, that is, once again, one of those relative statements that the prophet makes. He says, you know, if you're full, nothing tastes good. Nothing tastes good. If you don't think you have a need, you won't receive. Jesus said it this way. The Pharisees came to him one day and they said, "You eat with publicans and sinners." And he responded, "Well, it's not the well that need the physician. It's the ill. It's the sick. It's not the full that will come with an empty plate to hear the word of the Lord. It's the hungry." What does Jesus say in the Beatitudes, the first part of Matthew 5? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, those that do not hunger and thirst after righteousness, we can most easily make the converse of that beatitude true. They shall never be filled. But those who hunger and thirst, they shall be filled. So, even honey then, not savory to someone who's full. And what is sweeter than the words of Christ? All right, so then the next portion, out of time. Oh, let's pick a couple. We must time what we do. We must use judgments in how we offer things. Notice in verse 14, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. Well, that's a very memorable way of speaking a very important truth. The important truth is that we must indeed couch what we say. Those faithful wounds of a friend must be apples of gold and pitchers of silver, right? They must be set up in the right kind of context. They must be said in that spiritual attitude that the Apostle Paul speaks of in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. My brethren, if any of you be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual among you, correct such a one in the spirit of meekness, taking heed to yourself, lest you also be tempted. Roughly paraphrased, Galatians 6, 1. So we must couch, frame that which we say. Even our blessings will be counted curses if they are unseasonable. How much more then corrections, right? A prudent man foreseeth the evil, verse 12, and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are unpunished. I like Dr. Bridges here especially. He says the evil day is coming. The evil day is coming. Are you whistling past the graveyard? The evil day is coming. And so he hides himself. Of course, the implication here from Solomon is that he is hiding himself in Christ. He is hiding himself in God's mercy. He is hiding himself in God's grace. When the evil approaches, the wise man hides himself in Christ. The fool never sees it coming. Never sees it coming. And then maybe just one more principle, and we'll look at a few proverbs to show us that. Verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And then also, as in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. We were created not to be loners. We were created to live in a society of people, having friends, loving and being loved, serving and being served, ministering and being ministered to. We were created not to keep our own counsel, not to crawl off into a corner with our own view and to tell everyone else to talk to the hand. We have been created for interaction, for sharpening, for society, for godly society, where our ideas will be challenged, where we might have to, from time to time, defend what we think or be corrected for it. This is what Solomon is getting at when he says, iron sharpens iron. It's what he's getting at when he says, face answers to faith. Face, heart answers to heart. No man can say, the struggles, the troubles that I have, no man has ever felt. No, you have friends. You have acquaintances. You have society in which people exist that have felt what you feel. You have a Savior that is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. We cannot live as loners, as hermits. We were created for society. All right, well, there's a lot more there to touch on, but we'll have to move on for time's sake. Let's stand and call upon the Lord.